says would help clear him of war crimes charges. Taylor is testifying in his own defense against 11 charges of crimes against humanity, including murder, rape, and torture for aiding rebels in Sierra Leone. He was asked about testimony by a prosecution witness concerning radio communications in which Taylor allegedly urged rival forces in Sierra Leone to cooperate. With IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen. We're going to be talking about the latest issues of what's going on in the world. Joel, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure as always, Dr. Stan. I almost got held up by a long train at a stop, but I was able to make it to the office, and so I'm here. And of course, the big topic this week is the Clinton rescue of the two journalists in North Korea. You know, the capture of these two reporters of Chinese descent who worked for Al Gore and their subsequent rescue from North Korea's clutches by former President Bill Clinton was a setup from the very beginning. Nothing about this story comes close to the real truth. As I covered the story in a prior brief, the initial capture of the reporters on the frozen Yalu River, where no one could provide or prove which side of the Chinese-North Korean border they were really on, was a predictable tactic used by North Korea to obtain secret concessions from the U.S. The two men were railroaded into a North Korean court and sentenced to hard labor in one of North Korea's notorious prison camps. And this was done, of course, for the shock effect to elicit horror around the world. In reality, they never suffered a day of hard labor. The harsh sentence's only purpose was to stimulate world pressure on the U.S. to do something to gain their release. Now, the secret concessions North Korea would demand for their release had to be kept secret, and trotting out Bill Clinton was and his so-called private mission to North Korea was the perfect cover story.
Well, you know, as I look at it, Joel, I couldn't help but wonder if maybe they sent those two girls up there to get captured so they could justify resuming oil shipments to North Korea, resuming food shipments to North Korea, removing the sanctions from North Korea. That's what we've really been doing since the end of the second of the Korean War. And under one guise or another, we've always financed the North Koreans, but we can't let the common people here in America understand that we've been keeping the ruthless, tyrannical regime in power in North Korea ever since, of course, the armistice was signed back in 1954.
Well, the only way that could happen, and I will admit it is a possibility, the only way that could happen, of course, is journalists wouldn't have known that they would have been set up. And then someone would have leaked to the North Koreans that there were two journalists out there on the ice trying to interview and receive, you know, human rights information from North Koreans and set them up to be captured. And that's a very real possibility. But nevertheless, North Korea is very paranoid, and they do weird things, and it's just like them to, I mean, they've kidnapped other people, too. They have Japanese hostages that they've kept for over 10 years. They have South Korean hostages that they've kept. So this is not out of character for North Korea. Now, while this started out, in my opinion, as a ploy by North Korea, the story that this release mission was a totally private effort by Bill Clinton, not sanctioned by the U.S. government, is an outright lie. As USA Today noted after Obama's public praise for both Clinton and Gore's role in the mission, he said, As Obama aides spoke, they went out of their way to say that Clinton's mission was a private one and in no way represented a U.S. diplomatic initiative toward North Korea over its nuclear program.
But, Joel, that is illegal. No private citizen, even if they're an ex-president, can carry on independent negotiations with a foreign nation. That is a federal crime. And so, basically, either Bill Clinton carried out a federal crime or the whole story is contrived, which I think is the case.
Yes, it was absolutely bogus. And that's precisely why the aides went out of their way to make the point. They even emphasized the fact that Obama didn't talk with Clinton Obama talked with Clinton this morning, meaning yesterday, but not before his trip to North Korea, as if this trip couldn't have been arranged by government without Obama's personal okay. Well, this was a private humanitarian, said Robert Gibbs, echoing the disinformation line. And so paranoid was the White House about giving the impression that some quid pro quo was in this release, that Gibbs disputed the North Korean state media report that the former president apologized on behalf of the two reporters. There wasn't a message that was passed, Gibbs said. If there wasn't a message, there certainly wasn't an apology. Now, how do you square that statement, if there wasn't a message passed, with the fact that Clinton spoke for over 3 hours with Kim Jong-il? I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, how do you speak for over 3 hours with the North Korean president and not have a message? I mean, it's just ludicrous. You can't talk with that guy about the time of the day for 3 hours. They had a long laundry list of negotiations to go through, and I'm sure that there was a package of concessions. You know, the White House is trying to give the impression that the ailing North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il has, you know, who suffers from, I think it's terminal pancreatic cancer, was willing to release the reporters merely for the privilege of having a photo op with former President Bill Clinton. No messages, no deals, no promises, just a sudden thaw in their otherwise frosty relationship. Well, anyone familiar with the past and current history of North Korea and their tactics knows this release without conditions was a total charade with a pre-agreed-upon script executed by both sides with precision. It was at once a propaganda coup for Kim Jong-il, coming across as the benevolent grantor of clemency, and a publicity stunt for the media-hungry Bill Clinton and Al Gore. But the reality is that no such private mission to North Korea, as you pointed out, is even possible. You can't even file a flight plan into North Korea without special government waiver granted by the White House. Slowly, additional truths, of course, have leaked out about the role of the National Security Advisor, James Jones, in coordinating this mission. Hillary Clinton, who was head of the State Department, would have been the normal one to vet this trip, but she was shunted aside so as to avoid the charge of making this a family affair. Well, to avoid the private mission claim, Dow Chemical and wealthy Hollywood movie producer Steve Bing were tapped to provide the transportation. Naturally, a deep insider newspaper like the Washington Post got the lion's share of the partial truths, which it revealed while still maintaining the myth, that it was totally private. Just like IRN News that we heard before we came on this interview, they kept saying this private mission it's just propaganda. And a media shame on them for not, challenging this fact. Anyway, the chairman, Abjet Aviation in Burbank, who manages the plane for Steve Bing, said the trip was especially difficult to arrange because Federal Aviation Administration regulations prohibit U.S. registered aircraft from landing in North Korea, and that it took, quote, an unprecedented level of cooperation between the FAA and the State Department to secure the necessary legal and diplomatic approvals in time for Monday's departure.
And who paid for the trip? You know, it costs quite a bit of money to hire a private, great big jetliner to fly all the way over there and all the way back. Who paid for it?
Steve Bing paid for it. He paid for all the fuel. Now, Dow Chemical paid for the flight of Bill Clinton to California, where he picked up in Burbank the aircraft, courtesy of Steve Bing, who paid $200,000 in fuel alone. And it's, of course, Steve Bing's airplane. It's a major airliner that is set up for business travel. And, he's a big contributor to the Bill Clinton Foundation, so is Dow Chemical. There's got to be some quid pro quos that these people get for churning these kind of millions of dollars on behalf of Bill Clinton. And, you know, the Post says the administration wanted to send former Vice President Al Gore to North Korea instead of Clinton. This is a tacit admission that this wasn't Clinton's idea at all. I mean, if the administration was, you know, claiming that, you know, we want to send Al Gore, you know, Gore is the co-founder of Current TV, which employed the two journalists who were detained. North Korean officials hinted that they wanted an envoy of Clinton stature. You know, the juvenile mind of Kim Jong-il knows Gore has no real celebrity clout. And I think he was definitely looking for many things besides secret concessions. He was looking for a way to save face, and you save face by meeting with somebody who has real celebrity status. So there was another hint that this thing was a setup. The two reporters were sentenced to a labor camp, and suddenly they had permission to telephone their families and give a hint that they would be released if Bill Clinton simply shows up in Pyongyang. This was high political mover written all over it.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Joel Skousen. We're simply discussing another one of the scams that's put over the American people, and they accept it without a question. We'll be back in just a moment here at Genesis. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Aging doesn't only show in your face, but it can be felt in your body. You feel tired, your joints and muscles ache, and your mind seems clouded and forgetful. It's time to stop the aging clock with a proven system brought to you by NutraMedical.com. Anti-Age Max uses a revolutionary formula to turn back the hands of time on the inside and out. Combine Anti-Age Max with Nutritrala to protect against cellular damage, and Collagen Max to regenerate healthy bones, ligaments, joints, and improve the collagen and elastin to your skin's appearance. It is possible to look and feel youthful again when you give your body what it needs. Anti-Age Max. Dr. Bill's Anti-Age Max is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen. Joel, pick up the story.
Well, it's, as I say, the Washington Post, and, you know, everybody's talking now about debriefing and how he got briefed before he went by the National Security Staff. I mean, listen, the National Security Staff is deep within the White House. You can't tell me this wasn't an administration mission if the National Security Staff was involved and had... was trying to work it out to send Gore over there, who was, of course, these girls' employers. And so you know that there was an awful lot of go-between with North Korea and the U.S. government saying, who would they accept, you know, for a safe phasing issue to come and negotiate the release of these people? And they proposed Gore, and Gore wasn't acceptable. He just didn't have the clout. I can certainly... vouch for that. Gore is, hasn't got much clout even here in the United States. One senior administration said full assurances from Pyongyang had not been secured until Sunday, the day the former president left Burbank on Bing's jet. At the time of the departure, U.S. officials knew that Clinton's schedule was scheduled to have a rare meeting, and that's all they knew. Lies, lies, and more lies. This is disinformation to maintain the fiction that the White House wasn't in the loop. They knew exactly how this was going to come off. When dealing with an unstable leader like Kim, every detail of every meeting has to be scripted weeks in advance so as to guarantee that he not lose face. Frankly, this whole story would have been more credible if the administration had not been over backwards trying to convince us that only Clinton's charismatic presence was necessary to secure the journalist's release. At a minimum, a major public apology by Clinton would have been a necessary evil to help Kim save face, probably shown only on North Korean television, but also deep secret concessions on the issue of sanctions. As I pointed out in prior briefs, the weapons inspection sanctions on North Korean ships already lacked teeth after the UN agreed at China's insistence that North Korean ships could not be boarded without North Korea's permission. However, the financial and banking sanctions were very tight on North Korea. One thing's for sure, the U.S. gave North Korea some significant concessions in return for the release of the reporters. My best guess would be that it involved loosening the financial and banking sanctions imposed on North Korea because these kinds of sanctions can be undone without the rest of the world knowing. The reason for all the denials and secrecy is that Obama has made a big issue of the fact, and I cover that in the World Affairs brief as well, that the former U.S. secret policy of rewarding North Korea for its continual violation of agreements would stop with this administration, though it clearly hasn't. So the administration has to go to extensive lengths to avoid the appearance of being permissive with North Korea. Obama often uses the tactic of acknowledging past U.S. policy mistakes and falsely pledging dramatic change. His bold acknowledgement of past U.S. mistakes and its hypocrisy is enough to convince the average person that surely Obama would never engage in this same conduct after criticizing it so boldly and forthrightly. That then becomes the perfect cover, as people are reluctant to believe that someone so blatantly would deceive them in public statements. In fact, the Obama regime is continuing all the bad policies of the Bush administration, even while decrying them, an essential dimension in the art of the big lie.
Well, certainly, nothing as it appears to be, and I'm sure that we will probably never know all the details of the concessions that have been made to North Korea, but we have, under one guise or another, kept that ruthless, tyrannical regime in power, you know, for, you know, 50 years. And, of course, what's even more amazing is, has anybody ever asked how a second-class nation like North Korea that can't even feed its own people could actually create a nuclear bomb all by itself, and or how they would be able to develop the sophisticated technology to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. We sort of take it for granted, oh, they have all of these things, and they just made them there in the garage someplace. I mean, obviously, they've had a great deal of help from sophisticated societies.
Yes, especially Russia and China. I mean, it's been a client state of Russia and China for many years, and it's even possible they got some of it through the Khan, K-H-A-N, nuclear smuggling ring, which was a U.S. operation out of Pakistan. They're the ones that, you know, shuffled and got nuclear technology to various different countries, including Pakistan, and in competition with India, and then they spread that around to parts of Iran and Iraq, parts to Syria as well, and then it looks like, and of course, this may be disinformation, but they're even claiming that they got nuclear technology to North Korea. But I believe that may well be a cover to keep from protecting the relationship between North Korea and Russia and China, who I think are the real implementers of their nuclear program there.
But, of course, Joel, we have transferred, there's no question in my mind, that the White House allowed the transfer of nuclear technology to Russia even during the Second World War, that we've transferred our missile technology to communist China. I remember when Bill Clinton did that. So nothing as it appears to be.
Well, we did more than just transfer our technology. We gave Russians, as you know, the original shipment of enriched uranium to which to produce their first nuclear weapon.
Right, Major Jordan's diary.
Yeah, how treasonous is that? Of course, you know, we've been doing all of these enhanced nuclear negotiations with India, and suddenly, as I pointed out in last week's World Affairs Brief, India comes up with a ballistic missile submarine. A nuclear submarine, and so they're really progressing. They're joining the, we don't know for sure if it's a ballistic missile submarine. We know that it's a nuclear submarine. But certainly they are on the road to becoming a major nuclear power. And I think the U.S. is playing India off of China as a counterbalance to what they know will eventually be a third world war between Russia and China and the West. And I think they're trying to rack up support between Pakistan and India to be a threat to China's back door. But whatever their motives are, they're playing a dangerous game by nuclear proliferation.
I share your concern. In fact, I am very concerned that the nuclear technology that was transferred to Pakistan, that Sybil Edmonds talks about, and anybody should go up on the Internet and they can pull down the story from the London Times of Sybil Edmonds, who used to work for the government, who risked, I believe, her life to get the information out to the American people. It was totally suppressed here in America. But if the State Department has actually allowed the transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan that could be transferred to Iran and to other countries, why, obviously, we are planning on a nuclear war and once again creating the best enemy money can buy.
That's right. Things are unraveling in many levels of Pakistan as well. In tomorrow's World Affairs Brief, I'm covering the fact that the secret Pakistani support for the Taliban has suddenly become public. The U.S. has always used the Pakistani ISI, their version of the CIA, to funnel secret support to terrorists in the region. And the U.S., the U.S. uses, finds convenient in creating enemies.
And I think that's so important for people to understand. We've been financing the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis have been funding the Taliban. And the Taliban have been killing our boys. It's like Vietnam all over again. We'll be right back.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country. The economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I want you to go ahead and get your address out there so people would know how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and hopefully subscribe to it, because it's a fascinating source of information. I look forward to it coming every Friday.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. The brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It gives a synopsis of the current brief, which is almost a week old now. A new one comes out every Friday, my analysis on the news, and you can get or listeners can get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, then go to the website, and it tells them how to do that right at the end of the synopsis. And lots of free things on the website, including one of the most useful things is a synopsis of all the top news stories that have been pre-selected by my research volunteer researchers that post what are the best of the conventional stories. And obviously I add back into that a lot of information, such as we've been talking about, which is important so that people don't become deceived.
All right, fine. Well, what's the next issue?
Well, we're talking about secret Pakistani support for the Taliban. As you know, this is one of the reasons why we're supposedly supporting Pakistan, is that they're supposed to be our best hope of fighting the Taliban. But in fact, it's becoming more and more public that, you know, there's a great deal of resistance to the U.S. within Pakistan and a great deal of support for fundamentalist Muslim beliefs. Garth Porter of IPS, the prestigious UK source, says despite evidence implicating the current Pakistani Army Chief General Ashfaq Perez Kayani in a major military assistance program for the Taliban insurgents over the past few years, senior officials of the Barack administration persuaded Congress to extend military assistance to Pakistan for another 5 years without any assurance that the Pakistani assistance to the Taliban had ended. Now, this is the same thing the Bush administration did for years, criticize, wring their hands, and then keep the aid flowing anyway. It sounds like North Korea, you know, wring your hands and decry their lack of compliance with nuclear shutdown and then give them aid anyway. But, you know, it never happens with Iran. You know, they have an absolute tough line on Iran, and they never deviate from it. And so it shows you when they want to be tough, when they do target a nation for destruction, they're absolutely ruthless. And when they want to cover up for things, you know, they can be as permissive as they want. Porter continues saying those officials led by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, have been arguing that Kayani is committed to ending support of the Taliban and other radical Islamic movements. I mean, how can you be committed to support and keep doing it? You know, he says, well, Kayani is not yet able to control his ISI operatives. Sure. Well, late last year, the U.S. officials were reportedly pressing for Kayani for far-reaching changes in the IS. You know, pressing meaning we have to tell you we're pressuring you, but there's a wink and a nod, you know, saying, but disregard what we're saying. Senator John Kerry was leading the charge. You know, he's very suspect. He's the guy who speaks out of both sides of his mouth, just like Senator John McCain, and who sabotaged the hearings on the POW-MIA survivors. Anyway, Senator John Kerry demanded that the ISI be put under civilian control, which does nothing at all, Dan. I mean, you can control the dark side of government with civilian control or military control, anyone, as long as you've got yes men who will do the job. And it threatened to introduce legislation making military assistance to Pakistan conditional on evidence the Pakistani military had ended support to the Pakistan. Well, how do you prove that a secret program has ended? It's virtually impossible. But interesting enough and predictably, Kerry dropped his proposal for conditioning U.S. military assistance on ending the ISI's Taliban program. He dropped it. In February, Kerry said conversations with Mullen and other players had persuaded him that Kayani and his choice for new SI chief, Shuja Pasha, had a willingness to engage in transformation. I mean, what a euphemism. Had a willingness to engage in transformation. It doesn't even say a willingness to change or a guarantee of change, a willingness merely to engage in some form of transportation. Or transformation, whatever that means. The Kerry-Lugar legislation passed by Congress in June provides $2 billion in military aid as well as $4 billion in economic assistance to Pakistan over the next 5 years and makes no mention, absolutely, of evidence of military aid to the Taliban.
And here we are almost 8 years into this battle. We went into Afghanistan because we had to catch Osama bin Laden. We didn't try to catch him well. Then we had to stop al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Almost 8 years later, now they're thinking, well, gee, maybe we ought to cut off aid to the Pakistanis that are financing the Taliban, that are killing our boys. Why can't the American people see what is so terribly obvious? And that is we've been funding the Taliban and Al-Qaeda all along. There is no way they could operate without funding, and certainly they're not getting enough funding from our friends in Saudi Arabia. So we've got to subsidize this exactly as it was in Vietnam, where a little country the size of the state of Mississippi was able to fight a 10-year war against the mightiest nation in the world because we were funding the Russians, we were funding the North Vietnamese, who were funding the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys. And can't people see it's like deja vu all over again?
Indeed it is. And, you know, we were tying the hands of our military, which I was a part of, behind our backs in Vietnam, and just a criminal endeavor. Well, of course, the last part of the security forces agreement with Pakistan requires that the Secretary of State merely certify that they're making an effort to prevent the Taliban and associated militant groups from using the territory of Pakistan as a sanctuary. Now, certification is also another easy-to-fulfill sham. All this provides is an ample lesson in how political insiders manage and cover up for political crises. I mean, certification. How long have we heard that, Stan, about, you know, the government certifies that Russia's still an ally and therefore susceptible to aid. The Secretary of State certifies that China is helping out in the war on terror and therefore is eligible to certain aid. I mean, these certifications are just have no way of holding their feet to the wire or challenging these things. Well, the next story is that Blackwater criminality reaches clear to the top. The Virginia Pilot newspaper comments on Jeremy Scahill's blockbuster article in The Nation, where he tells the story of two Blackwater Corporation whistleblowers who now directly implicate Blackwater's owner, Eric Prince, in death threats to members of Blackwater who were going to go state's evidence. This is the lesson how dark side private mercenaries work. In the suit, ex-workers accuse Blackwater founder of murder. Two men who worked for Blackwater, one in management, allege in a federal lawsuit that Eric Prince, the founder and president of Blackwater, now renamed Jie, and his agents murdered one or more people who were planning to provide information to federal authorities about criminal conduct by the company. The two men were identified in court papers as John Doe and John Doe 1 and John Doe 2, simply because they're afraid, as they should be, of their lives. One of them is the next U.S. Marine who was joined Blackwater as a guard, deployed to Iraq to guard State Department. He said he observed multiple incidents of Blackwater personnel intentionally using unnecessary, excessive, and unjustified deadly force. John Doe number 2 worked for the company in management for 4 years. On several occasions, he says, after my departure from Mr. Prince's employ, Mr. Prince's management has personally threatened me with death and violence. In addition, based on information provided by former colleagues, it appears that Mr. Prince and his employees murdered or had murdered one or more persons who had provided information to federal authorities. And, of course, what's interesting is that none of the federal charges has ever been brought or to fulfillment against Blackwater.
I suspect Eric Prince has friends in very high places in government. Certainly, remember back during the Katrina, why they had the Blackwater mercenaries patrolling the streets of New Orleans. I mean, I wonder when it'll start here in the United States. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Joel Skousen.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a one-week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, C-H-E-W-S.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreen Clean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreen Clean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreen Clean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreen Clean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreen Clean. It cleans anything.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest is Joel Skousen. So, Joel, pick up the story.
Well, you know, it's something you're very much aware of in California. The judges have ordered the state of California to release nearly 43,000 prisoners in the next 2 years. California prisons are apparently so overcrowded that the state is violating inmates' constitutional rights, said three federal judges, imposing a cap on prison population. But what about citizens' rights to be free from these released criminals? I note once again that the feds are spending billions of dollars in building FEMA camps to house illegal aliens, they say. Why aren't they offering to use these camps to hold these inmates, most of whom are illegal aliens? Well, it's because the camps are not for illegal aliens. That's just the excuse. And whether or not this is judges in collusion with California to try to reduce their budget crisis or create some other crisis, I don't know, but clearly this is not going to set well with the people of California.
Well, because where do the judges get off? I mean, where do they have the right to say, well, you're going to turn loose all of these prisoners who could create chaos, you know, in our cities, in our communities? So we live almost in a world gone mad where everything is being done to increase the tempo of chaos and crisis. And once people understand that, they'll begin to understand why the judges are making these ridiculous statements. And, of course, the excuse is, well, they just don't have adequate health facilities. Well, I mean, then why doesn't the judges, of course, get the federal government to give more money so that we could have health facilities, you know, like we have for the congressmen?
Well, of course, you know, giving bailouts in the billions and hundreds of billions of dollars to insider firms, but, you know, no bailouts, you know, for keeping people behind bars. I mean, what kind of priorities does this judicial system have? But they're obviously not working for the best interests of this country.
Well, turning to other
stories in the Middle East, in the Palestine, infighting was a major story within the Fatah organization. Fatah makes up the majority of the PLO and is threatening its political existence. Fatah, the largest faction of the PLO, is fighting for its very survival as the movement faces implosion and attacks from all sides. The issues have come to the fore at the 6th Revolutionary Council of the party that began in Bethlehem Tuesday. In turn, the survival of the Fatah-affiliated Palestinian Authority, which controls the West Bank and is Israel's chief negotiating partner and the international community's hope for a resolution, is also at stake. Factional divisions are now rampant, including a breakdown in communication between the old guard and the young guard, Israel's imprisonment of over 200 Fatah members, and Hamas's refusal to allow members trapped in Gaza to attend the conference. All of this compromised the conference from the start. Up until the moment of Fatah's electoral committee, they were divided over who would be allowed to attend. Eventually, approximately 60% of the 2,000-plus delegate seats were reserved for Fatah members above 65 years of age, some returning from exile to attend. Many of the old guard took up the Palestinian cause from surrounding Arab countries. And there's been a lot of tussles between them and the younger guard. On Wednesday, Fatah delegates closed the conference to the media to discuss contentious issues, including the possible resumption of limited arms struggle against Israel. One of the major issues that was, a problem is that, in fact, the conference was called off and indefinitely postponed because of this. Tensions escalated to a point where organizers ordered all journalists to stay away from the conference hall. They were yelling and screaming at each other. Fatah members from the Gaza Strip were in key decision-making bodies and were not allowed to attend. And so there was also charges that the old guard leadership was not revealing anything about the finances. You know, the Palestinian Authority under Yasser Arafat was notoriously corrupt. He squirreled away over $300 million into Swiss bank accounts. It was discovered after his death. Mahmoud Abbas and other leaders have done the same, and that's why they won't give an accounting of these monies, to the younger revolutionaries who are really upset. They're torn between Hamas, which does give them a fair shake, and Mahmoud Abbas, which has the appearance of being more moderate. But then there's another faction within Fatah that is just really upset because they're actually charging the PLO under Mahmoud Abbas with being an instrument in the hand of the Israeli enforcement police because they do their bidding or they get invaded. They are an occupied power, and so PLO's in a bad situation. They can't win either way they go.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to see peace in that part of the world until the Lord comes. I think we're just going to see conflict and conflict. And we can't back Hamas, but you certainly can't back Fatah. I think what the Palestinian people need is somebody who represents them. And unfortunately, the people that we're financing are totally corrupt. And actually, if you go back and study the origin of Hamas, it was organized by the CIA and the Mossad as a counter to the PLO. And certainly you see these things happening. You realize we create, once again, the best enemies money could buy. We're out of time, Joel. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy our conversations every week with Joel Skousen. A great analysis of what's going on, and I always learn a great deal from Joel's thoughtful evaluation of unfolding events, and you're going to get information here that you just won't get through regular channels. Now, this is the time when I really need to tell our listeners all across America that Radio Liberty can use your help. We've lost a lot of our supporters. Simply, they've lost their jobs. People have been with us 10 or 15 years since the very beginning and just had to drop out because, they just don't have the funds. And so if you're out there and you listen to our programs and you enjoy them on shortwave, why, shortwave is a tremendous drain on our funds. And if you can in any way help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you know anybody who'd like to advertise on our programs, this is a big help, and that way you can get a deduction for doing it. So we have our evening programs, we have our afternoon programs, we have our weekend programs. If you'd like to advertise, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. One of our most popular four tape sets is called Deadly Assassins. Two of our other DVDs, really we're getting rid of a lot of them, we're selling a lot of them. Dr. Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development. This is especially important as we see the epidemic of Alzheimer's disease. We see, of course, the epidemic of autism. We see the epidemic of neurodevelopmental and learning disabilities among our children. And certainly, why are these things happening? Well, Vaccines and Brain Development is an excellent source of information. Another excellent source is Dr. David Ayoub, DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, and, of course, you'll certainly want to get his that because you get a free CD-ROM that gives you literally 1,000 or more pages of government and scientific documents showing that the government knows about the relationship between the dimerosal that they put in the mercury in the vaccines and the autism and other toxicity from the thimerosal. They know that we have produced autism and autism epidemic where between 1 in 60 and 1 in 90 boys is now autistic. They've done it. They've done it on purpose, and they've concealed the information from the American people. So remember again our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have so many other four tape or four CD sets. One on the murder of Bobby Kennedy, and we carry the book, Who Killed Bobby, and then the DVD, RFK Must Die. We have a four-tape set on the attack on the Liberty, nothing like it. We have a DVD and a video on the attack on the Liberty and how this was planned in an effort to justify going to war with Egypt. But, of course, that wouldn't work unless we killed all the American boys, and that was the plan. And that's why, of course, President Johnson called back on not one but on two occasions the fighter planes that were sent to actually try to rescue the men on the Liberty. There were 34 killed, 174 injured out of a contingent of about 280. And it was all done on purpose. Our